being God's Word to the 13th chapter of the Acts of the Apostles, as we begin to read at the 4th verse. Paul and Barnabas, sent on their way by the Holy Spirit, went down to Seleucia, sailed from there to Cyprus. When they arrived at Salamis, they proclaimed the Word of God in the Jewish synagogues. John was with them as their helper. They travelled through the whole island until they came to Paphos. There they met a Jewish sorcerer and false prophet named Bar-Jesus, who was an attendant of the proconsul, Sergius Paulus. The proconsul, an intelligent man, sent for Barnabas and Saul because he wanted to hear the word of God. But Elymas the sorcerer, for that is what his name means, opposed them and tried to turn the proconsul from the faith. Then Saul, who was also called Paul, filled with the Holy Spirit, looked straight at Elymas and said, "You are a child of the devil and an enemy of everything that is right. You are full of all kinds of deceit and trickery. Will you never stop perverting the right ways of the Lord? Now the hand of the Lord is against you. You are going to be blind, and for a time you will be unable to see the light of the sun." Immediately, mist and darkness came over him, and he groped about, seeking someone to lead him by the hand. When the proconsul saw what had happened, he believed. For he was amazed at the teaching about the Lord. Amen. Let's pray. Draw close, most heavenly Lord, we pray, and to your word grant the power of your Spirit, that it might be as a balm to our soul, encouragement to our way, to walk in love and honor of Jesus Christ the King. Amen. Luke, as he writes for us the account of this, the first missionary journey, here, as it were, bookmarks the importance of this event in the life of the Christian community. For he wants us to draw particular attention to this story. He tells us that Paul and Barnabas have come to Cyprus, taking with them John Mark, who acts as an intern to their ministry. Having arrived at Salamis, they begin a journey in which they preach, a journey that takes them the length and breadth of the island of Cyprus, which is the home of Barnabas. And they journey some 90 miles to come to Paphos, where they meet with Sergius Paulus, the governor, the proconsul of the island. Theirs was a preaching mission. They were telling others about Jesus Christ. And Luke draws the attention of his hearers to this particular story, because here not only is recorded a significant event, but there is a great deal that is necessary for believers to take to their own soul and lesson that they might learn for their own walk in Jesus Christ. The importance of this story is that it is the first recorded convert of one who had no religious background in Judaism. Sergius Paulus, as far as we are able to tell, was simply a pagan. He had no contact with the synagogues that had been the place to which Paul and Barnabas had been drawn. Here was one upon whose heart God was moving. A governor, an important figure. But that isn't the reason that we are given the significance of this story. Rather, it is someone in whom God is working. Someone whose spiritual need suddenly comes to the forefront of their mind, and they become a Christian. It's almost as though Paul is here given the importance of taking the gospel beyond the bounds of the Jewish synagogue. And the importance of the story is marked for us as the name of Saul is dropped and the name of Paul is adopted, so that we will get special significance from everything that is written here. And as the story goes on, we are given a challenge, because the story reminds us that the first call of every Christian is to announce the gospel of Jesus Christ. The first call of the Church of Christ is to tell men and women about the good news of the Savior, to announce to boys and girls that Jesus Christ is the Savior from sin. It is the mission of the church to preach the gospel. And in an age where there is a loss of confidence in what we are and what we are to do, here comes the clarion call from God to you and to me. Preach Christ. Tell the good news of Jesus Christ to men and women so that they might become Christians. And that's the mission that we have. It's to see people become Christians. And that's the reason for the importance of this story. The story of one man finding Christ. Sergius Paulus, we're told, was an intelligent man. And he sent for Paul and for Barnabas because he was interested in the gospel that they taught. He was a man whose own heart was touched, so that the need of his heart was suddenly to know spiritual renewal. He was a man who had all the luxury of this world and all the power of this world. He was a significant and important political figure. He was a man who obviously had more than enough of the wealth of this world, but he found that the material things of life were not food sufficient for his soul. They could give him lots of comfort in this world, but they could not bring nourishment to his soul. And so he explores, looking for the food for his soul that will cause him to grow. He has a spiritual hunger. And so you see Paul and Barnabas travel 90 miles teach this man the things of Christ. That's the commitment of the believer. They are prepared to travel wherever it is necessary to a soul that is hungry, looking for the Lord. Now, that's an important lesson to us. It tells us something about the commitment we have to announcing the gospel. Paul and Barnabas preached all over the island, but they traveled to where God had already prepared the heart of this man. Because that spiritual hunger in Sergius Paulus was created by God. And God, who created the hunger, also produced in his two servants that power that was going to drive them to preach the gospel. And to know that each of us is set as an answer to some of the needs of our world. There are people out there who are hungering for God and for whom you are set because you have met Christ and you have the food of life that you cannot deny to them. This isn't just a general invitation to be good witnesses, although that is clearly part of the story, for Paul and Barnabas preached wherever they went. But they traveled directly to this man because he had a heart that was open and touched. God went ahead of them. And it's because of that truth that we see the powerful work that results. It is because the Lord is already preparing the heart of the hungry or the messenger who brings the food of life, that you see the blessing that results. That's the story of the whole of the Scripture. Every Christian may know this confidence, that as we are led, so God is drawing. You remember in the story of the sacrifice of Isaac by Abraham, you've got Abraham walking up one side of the mountain with his son, whom he is about to offer as a sacrifice to God. And up the other side of the mountain there is traveling a ram that is God's provision. And they meet at the place of God's appointment. Sergius Paulus' heart was opened by God so that his servants, equipped with the message, filled with the Spirit, endued with the gospel, could meet that spiritual hunger. That's what we're set to be. That's what you are set to do. It is to speak the gospel, to preach Jesus Christ to those who are hungry. And you have to have discernment to see that. There are people who are open to the gospel and there are people who aren't. You are to be witnesses wherever you are, but particularly to those who want to hear, whose heart God is moving in. That's the challenge that comes to us, to be faithful in doing what God has set us to do. And in doing that, we are reminded that there is always a cost. There's no doubt that part of the purpose that Luke has in telling these events and retelling them for us is that he wants to make the point clear that any work for God is going to encounter the hostility not only of this world, but of the reality of the power of evil, of the devil himself. And you see it described here. We're reminded that evil isn't some created idea in the mind of men and women. It is a reality. Evil has power. It is worked out through men and women. In this case, it is worked out through Elymas, the wizard. And his name derived from an Arabic word meaning skillful or expert. And it seems likely that Sergius Paulus, as his soul was hungry for God, looked round for someone who would be a spiritual counselor. He didn't know what he was looking for. He didn't know who was good and bad. Elymas claimed the name Bar Jesus, and it suggested that he was offering an interpretation of the gospel, one that was designed to give him power and to enrich him. He was using the gospel for himself. And so when Paul and Barnabas arrive preaching Christ, not out of self-interest, but preaching the gospel of Christ, they suddenly run into the hostility of the evil one, because there is spiritual evil that is hostile to Christ's people. Sergius Paulus didn't know who was the one they must listen to. There are always counterfeits to the gospel of Christ. And in our generation, there are legion counterfeits. Wherever the gospel is preached, there are people who will stand up and say, "Yes, let me tell you." And they will point you to crystals, or they will look inwardly, but they will not announce the gospel of Jesus Christ, who has come from God to bring salvation by his own death upon the cross. There, the power of evil confronts the gospel, and in the individual who tried to turn the proconsul from his faith, you see revealed what evil will do. It will fight Christ's people. And each of us is reminded that you cannot take spiritual evil lightly. In a world where often we would tend to dismiss the very notion and the reality of spiritual evil, here we are reminded you can't take it lightly. It is the enemy of your soul. The Apostle Paul was at pains to write to every church of the power of the enemy, because every Christian faces the reality of a spiritually hostile environment. And here you see an inevitable conflict, a confrontation that came as a result of good and evil, God and his enemy meeting. One author has described it as a bare-knuckle, heart-thumping confrontation. And that it is. And anyone who has engaged in a war with spiritual evil knows something of this sort of power, because following Christ brings everyone who is a believer into a spiritual battle. You remember? Corrie ten Boom, that woman of God, landing up in a concentration camp because she and her family gave sustenance and support to the persecuted Jews under the Nazi regime. She could have been free, except she followed Christ, and spiritual evil followed her. There were consequences, and there are consequences in battling evil. There is a cost in this confrontation. Paul fixes his gaze on Elymas and says to him, "You are a child of the devil, an enemy of everything that is right." Now, there is no mincing words there. You cannot mistake what Paul means. But these aren't the angry words of an irritated debater. It's not that he's arguing with Elymas, talking to Sergius Paulus and someone interrupting him. And so in an irritated manner, he looks at him and says, "Oh, be quiet." Paul fixes his eye upon the enemy. And he says, "You are a child of the devil. This isn't a game. This is spiritual warfare. You are an enemy of everything that is right. And the stakes are enormous." Luke makes it clear that when Paul spoke those words, he was filled with the Holy Spirit. It is God who stands against the enemy. And Paul looks at this sorcerer, and he announces words that I think are perhaps the most frightening in all of the Scripture. For he says, "The hand of the Lord is against you." There is a battle. It's a serious battle. It is the battle of every Christian with spiritual evil. And it's the context of the Christian life. But there is also a comfort. For Paul spoke, and he saw the victory of God. For he announced on Elymas, "You will be blind and unable to see the light of the sun." Paul condemned Elymas, the sorcerer, and he condemned him because his name said he was a son of salvation, and yet his message proved he was a child of the devil and in ignorance and darkness. He was no guide in the pathway of life. He was a guide only to doom. An imposter, as one author writes, he is guilty of causing perversion, not conversion. And as a consequence, he earned the condemnation of God, and he became blind. The wrath of God was revealed against this man, and he went into darkness as physical, as deep as it was spiritual. That's the judgment of God revealed against evil. And we are reminded that in the conflict with evil, not only that there is a reality about our enemy, but the fact is we have to face it. And that enemy, because it is evil, can and it will hurt. The conflict doesn't leave us as though we were untouched by it, unscathed. In that conflict, there is pain. And the power of evil is frightening. but it isn't ultimate. Paul was able to face the enemy and says, you will be blind. And in saying that, and in seeing the hand of God revealed, you saw that the ultimacy lay with the sovereign Lord. Not evil, not all its power of darkness, not all its terrifying reality, but God stands sovereign and Lord. And when in the final conflict there is a battle, it is God who is the victor. And that lesson has to be the encouragement for your soul and mine in our conflict. That it is the Lord who is sovereign. The outcome is not in doubt. God only is the Lord and the ruler. And there's the confidence that comes to us. And the comfort in the midst of the warfare of our life is that the Lord reigns. The outcome of all of that was to see that a work of God took place. A true work. For Sergius Paulus became a Christian. He trusted Jesus Christ. Luke says very simply, he believed. And you know, the text goes on because it doesn't want to give us the impression that this man became a Christian because he saw two forces fighting. He didn't become a believer because the startling power of God sent one wizard down onto the ground blind. The scripture says he became a Christian. Why? For he was amazed at the teaching of the Lord. Sergius Paulus didn't become a Christian because there was a greater magic in Paul than there was in Elymas. He, as a man seeking, expected a conflict between two forces. He might have expected to see one triumph. But he became a believer not because the power of God brought judgment upon Elymas, not because Paul won, but because the gospel was amazing. He became a believer because the power of the gospel was that God saves sinners. He became flesh in Jesus Christ, the Son of God. He bore our sin upon the cross. He died bearing the judgment of God that was yours and mine. And he rose triumphant with forgiveness to every sinner who repents, moved by God's Spirit. And that amazing truth converted Sergius Paulus. It was the gospel. Not a trick, not even a miracle, but the gospel that changed the heart. And that's the truth for you and for me. It isn't miracles that will convert. Thousands saw Jesus perform miracles and they never believed. It was the gospel. It's the power of God unto salvation. And it reminds us that our hope and our confidence is in that which God has spoken and done in Christ. It's the gospel that brings true life. It is the gospel of Christ that brings forgiveness, salvation, and hope. When we believe it, when we obey it, when we speak that gospel clearly, we will see hostility and opposition. We will know a confrontation with evil, and we will know what it is to be bruised and to be pained. But with Paul, we will know what it is to say, we are more than conquerors through him who has loved us. The power of Jesus Christ is ultimate. Therefore, says Paul, onward, brothers and sisters. Onward in the cause of Christ. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, speak afresh to our souls with a message that is clear. that the gospel only is our hope and this our confidence, and by the power of your Spirit go before. Grant that in the conflicts that we endure, we will see your power revealed, your gospel triumph, and Jesus be glorified, in whom we trust and to whom we come, now and always. Amen.